Hello friends, Paul Angelo here, founder of the Big Gay Family Social Program. In this recording, I'd like to invite you to a revolutionary methodology for building relationships for gay men called the Universal Dating Protocol. And what you are about to hear is an interview about the first stage of the Universal Dating Protocol called The Bridge. So enjoy and take notes, because this interview is going to reveal big ideas from psychology that will help you create the best relationships of your life. So let's begin.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we, well, as always, take a whole bunch of information and kind of distill it down to the really important stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So today we're diving into the Universal Dating Protocol Manual, specifically the first three calls, which are called the bridge. I am really fascinated by this idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
It seems like it's addressing a lot of those common frustrations that that we hear about so often in, you know, especially for gay men dating today.
Absolutely, yeah. And the material you shared really highlighted some of those pain points, like the whole ghosting thing, you know, just feeling completely dismissed.
Right, right.
The hookup culture that kind of overshadows any possibility of deeper connection.
Yeah, or makes it hard to find.
And yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you know, past experiences that just kind of keep haunting you.
Mm-hmm.
So the UDP, and especially the bridge, it seems like they're offering a completely different way of doing this whole dating thing.
I think so.
So today our mission is to unpack all of that. Like, what are the core principles of this bridge phase? How does it actually work in practice? And could this be a fresh perspective for those of us who are, well, kind of tired of the same old dating game?
It could be, yeah. I mean, one of the things that really jumped out at me when I was going through the manual was this concept of the assumption of continuity.
Hmm.
And it's not just about these first three calls. It actually runs through the entire 12 steps of the UDP, all the way to this thing called the exchange of intimacy codes.
Okay, that sounds intriguing, but also maybe a little intimidating. So let's break this down a bit. Assumption of continuity. I mean, it sounds like it's a huge departure from how most of us approach dating. Like, usually every interaction feels like a test, you know?
Yeah.
Am I interesting enough? Did they like me? Are they going to text back?
Yeah, exactly. It's so much pressure.
And it's exhausting, right?
It is, yeah.
So how does this assumption of continuity change that whole dynamic?
Well, from what I understand, it kind of flips the script on that whole evaluation anxiety thing.
Okay.
It's based on, I think, four key elements.
All right, I'm ready. Lay them on me. What are those four elements?
Okay, so the first one is that this initial, like, introduction process, it just keeps going through all 12 steps of the UDP.
Okay.
Unless a guardian or coach, that's what they call them, intervenes to kind of guide things.
Okay, so there's like a built-in support system. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And the second element is that, like, any challenges that come up along the way, they're not automatically seen as deal breakers.
Mm.
They're viewed as opportunities for growth.
Within this process, right. Not just like, okay, well, we don't like the same movie, so goodbye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about using the protocol to work through those differences.
Mm.
And then the third element, they emphasize committing to actually using the specific tools that the UDP provides.
Okay, like what kind of tools?
They got things like get out of jail cards, which sounds kind of fun.
That does sound kind of fun.
A methodology for communicating nonviolently.
Oh, interesting.
And even workshops that focus on, like, really understanding your emotions and needs.
Wow. Okay, so it's really comprehensive.
It is, yeah. And then the final element, and this one really surprised me, is that just feeling personally uncomfortable or uncertain, that in itself isn't considered a good enough reason to just end the process.
So you have to push through those feelings of discomfort?
It's not so much about pushing through them, but more about using them as an opportunity to learn and grow.
Oh, okay. I see.
It's about recognizing that those feelings might actually be pointing to something really important that needs to be addressed.
That makes sense. So it sounds like the UDP isn't really about those, you know, instant fireworks or that, you know, that immediate, like, overwhelming attraction. It's about something much deeper.
Right. The manual stresses that the real goal here is personal transformation. That comes from going through all 12 steps.
And that transformation, what does that actually look like?
Well, they suggest that it can lead to some pretty amazing changes in how you approach relationships.
Like what?
Well, for example, the lessons you learn can actually become integrated into what you find attractive in a partner.
Oh, wow. So it's changing your attraction patterns from the inside out.
That's the idea. It also suggests that your patterns of arousal, you know, what turns you on, can evolve beyond just reactions to past trauma.
So it's about moving away from those, like, unhealthy patterns that might be keeping you stuck.
Yeah, and it even talks about how you can start valuing a potential partner's overall wholeness rather than just fixating on specific traits.
So it's a more holistic view of the person.
Exactly. And on top of all that, it touches on the idea of healing attachment wounds through this, like, consistent, supportive connection that the UDP provides.
Wow, that's powerful. But this whole idea of long-duration dating, it sounds like it requires a lot of patience and commitment.
It does, yeah. But the idea is that this kind of deeper healing and transformation, it just can't happen overnight.
And it's applied right from the start with the bridge, right?
Exactly. You commit to completing all three calls no matter what. Your initial impressions, your gut feelings, they kind of take a backseat.
So it's not about making a snap judgment about whether this person is the one or not.
No, it's about experiencing the whole process as a kind of personal development journey.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's zoom in on this bridge now. You know, it's the first stage, the foundation of the whole thing. What exactly is its purpose?
Well, the manual says it aims to establish several key things.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, first off, it's structured around these three calls, each designed to gradually deepen the emotional connection.
Okay.
Second, there are clear roles for each person. You've got a leader and a participant for each call.
Right.
Then balanced sharing and listening are really emphasized, you know, making sure both people feel heard and understood.
Yeah, that's so important, especially early on.
And then they also prioritize creating the safe space for vulnerability to kind of emerge naturally. And finally, it's about putting up some guardrails against those knee-jerk judgments or the urge to just withdraw because of a first impression.
So it's really about creating the right conditions for something real to develop.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
So it's much more than just like three random chats, right? It sounds like the beginning of a whole different approach to building relationships.
Exactly. It's meant to be a total shift from how we typically approach dating. You know, moving away from those superficial encounters and those chance meetings towards something way more intentional and deliberate.
I like that. And then they get into the specifics of each call, right?
They do.
So call one is all about the present. What happens there?
Well, call one is like the getting to know you stage.
Yeah.
You're focusing on making a positive first impression and really understanding where the other person is at in their life right now.
Okay, like what are they interested in? What are their values?
Exactly, yeah. What's their day-to-day life like? It's about finding that common ground.
And then call two shifts the focus to the future.
Yeah, call two is all about hopes and dreams, you know, aspirations, intentions. You're exploring where each person sees themselves going in life, what they're working towards, and whether those visions kind of align.
And then call three, origins. That one seems like it gets a little more personal.
It does. Call three is where you delve into family background, childhood experiences, you know, those formative relationships that kind of shaped who you are today.
So it's about understanding the roots of each other's patterns and beliefs about relationships.
Exactly. And the manual stresses that it's not about analyzing each other or digging up old wounds. It's more about sharing those key experiences that have shaped your perspective on connection.
I see. So there's this really intentional progression through these three calls.
Yeah, there is. And there are also some other elements woven into the bridge process, like these specific purpose and closing statements for each call.
What are those for?
Well, the purpose statement is read at the beginning of each call to kind of set the intention and create a focused atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And the closing statement, well, it wraps things up and leaves you feeling positive and hopeful about the next steps.
Okay, so it's like bookending each call with a reminder of the overall purpose. And then you mentioned the get out of jail card agreement earlier. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's basically acknowledging that, you know, in any interaction, misunderstandings can happen, little missteps, you know, awkward moments.
Right, we're all human.
Exactly. So this agreement kind of sets up a framework for addressing those moments and repairing any potential damage.
So it's like a built-in safety net.
Exactly. It allows for some grace and understanding as you navigate these deeper conversations.
I love that. Okay, so it's really clear that there's a lot of thought and structure behind the bridge. What are the, like, fundamental principles that underpin this whole approach?
The manual highlights five key principles that kind of form the bedrock of the bridge. The first one is that structure creates safety.
Oh, that makes sense. Knowing what to expect can definitely make you feel more comfortable and less anxious, especially when you're talking about potentially vulnerable topics. And remember, the manual uses a great analogy here.
Yeah, it compares the structure of the bridge to a physical bridge. You know, just like a bridge needs a strong structure to support the weight and allow safe passage, this emotional bridge needs these conversational guidelines to create that sense of safety and allow people to be more vulnerable without feeling like they're going to fall apart.
I love that analogy. It's so true. You know, that sense of predictability and knowing what to expect, it can be incredibly grounding, especially when you're venturing into unknown territory with someone new.
Absolutely. It's about creating that container where a genuine connection can flourish. And I think that's especially important for gay men who might have experienced a lot of uncertainty and inconsistency in their dating experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. The second principle is pacing prevents premature intimacy or judgment. This one feels so relevant, especially with how fast-paced modern dating can be.
It really is. You know, modern dating often feels like it's all about rushing towards physical intimacy. Sometimes without that solid emotional connection as a foundation. And then there's that pressure to judge, to make snap decisions based on very limited information.
You swipe left or right based on a couple of photos and a few lines of text. It's crazy.
Exactly. And the bridge, it's like the antithesis of that whole approach. It intentionally slows things down, creating space for a connection to develop more organically and thoughtfully.
Yeah, and the way the three calls are structured, you know, starting with the present, moving to the future, and then exploring those origins, it's like it mirrors a healthier way of building intimacy.
It does, yeah. It starts with who you are in this moment, okay. Then you explore your shared visions for the future, and then you get a deeper understanding of the experiences that have shaped you. It's a natural progression.
And it allows trust to build gradually along the way. The third principle is all about balance of sharing and listening. I know this is something that so many people struggle with, even in established relationships.
It's so true. It's easy to get caught up in your own head, you know, thinking about what you want to say next and completely miss what the other person is trying to tell you.
Or to just dominate the conversation without realizing it.
Right. And the bridge directly addresses that by having those alternating 15-minute intervals for sharing and listening.
So it's not just about taking turns speaking. It's about making a conscious effort to truly listen and absorb what the other person is saying without immediately jumping in with your own thoughts.
Exactly. And the manual even suggests practicing attentive listening without formulating responses during the other person's sharing time.
Oh, wow. That's a real skill.
It is. But imagine how much richer and more meaningful our conversations would be if we all got better at that.
It would revolutionize communication. And then there are the leader and participant roles, and those dual checklists. What are those about?
Those are there to foster a sense of shared responsibility. It's not about one person carrying the weight of the conversation or driving the connection forward.
Right, so it's a collaborative effort.
Exactly. And it helps to keep things balanced and prevent those power dynamics from creeping in.
That makes sense. And the fourth principle brings us back to that foundational idea of the assumption of continuity.
Yes, and its role in the bridge is crucial because it really sets the stage for the entire UDP journey.
By committing to those three calls up front, you're essentially choosing to practice that discipline of continuation.
That's it, yeah. You're saying, okay, I'm going to see this through regardless of any bumps along the way. And that takes the pressure off of constantly evaluating whether this person is the one or not.
So you can just relax into the process and allow the connection to unfold organically.
Exactly. And that opens up the possibility for deeper learning and growth.
And speaking of learning and growth, the manual also talks about the scientific and psychological basis of this whole approach.
It does. It connects the bridge to several well-established psychological theories. First, there's attachment theory, which, as you know, explores how those early childhood relationships shape our attachment patterns in adulthood.
Right, and the manual points out that many gay men may have faced unique challenges in developing secure attachment.
Exactly. You know, things like societal rejection, coming out later in life, maybe not having as many positive role models for same-sex relationships.
Those are all valid points. So how does the bridge address those potential attachment wounds?
By providing this structured, predictable environment, which can actually help regulate the attachment system.
So that consistency and clarity, it can actually help foster a sense of safety and security.
That's the idea. And that can be incredibly healing for those who might be carrying, you know,
anxious or avoidant attachment patterns.
It's pretty amazing to think that a structured dating process could actually lead to deeper emotional healing.
It is. And then they talk about polyvagal theory.
Oh, right. That one's all about how our nervous system responds to feelings of safety and danger.
Exactly. And the bridge incorporates elements specifically designed to create what they call a neuroception of safety.
Like what?
Things like the purpose statement at the start of each call and that balanced structure of the sharing turns.
So it's sending signals to the nervous system that this is a safe space to connect and be vulnerable.
That's right. And that's when real connection can happen.
Fascinating. And they also tie the bridge to narrative psychology. How does that fit in?
Well, narrative psychology basically says that we make sense of ourselves and the world through the stories we tell ourselves and each other.
Right, our personal narratives.
Exactly. And the bridge, with its progression from the present to the future and then to those origins, it actually encourages you to build a more cohesive and integrated narrative about yourself and the other person.
So you're essentially weaving your stories together, creating a deeper understanding.
Exactly. And that creates what John Gottman calls cognitive room, which is that mental space you need to really understand and empathize with another person.
It's like you're building a bridge of understanding.
I like that. And what's interesting is that the manual also talks about how the bridge principles can be applied in situations beyond just initial dating.
Oh, right. Like what?
Well, for example, couples who are feeling disconnected, you know, maybe they've lost that spark, they could use the structured sharing and listening practices of the bridge to kind of reestablish intimacy.
Like a relationship reset button.
Exactly. It gives them a framework for really seeing and hearing each other again.
I love that. And it could even be helpful for building deeper friendships, right?
Totally. It could be a great way to create those more meaningful platonic connections within the Greek community.
And on a broader level, I imagine these principles could even contribute to stronger communities.
Absolutely. By creating that shared language and the experience of going through the bridge together, it could foster more empathy and understanding between people.
And on a personal level, the skills you learn through this process, you know, the balanced sharing, the active listening, the emotional vulnerability, those are all things that can benefit you in every area of life.
No doubt.
Okay, so now that we understand the why behind the bridge, let's dive into the how. Like, what's the step-by-step process for these three calls?
All right, well, the manual is really clear about that. It says, ideally, these three calls should happen within 30 days, and each call should be about an hour long.
Okay. And are there any prerequisites, like things you need to do before you even schedule the first call?
Yeah, there are a few key things. Both people need to read through the manual and the checklist thoroughly, making sure they really understand the protocol.
Got it.
Then they need to schedule all three calls up front, you know, right at the beginning.
To solidify that commitment.
Exactly. And then they also need to decide who's going to be the leader and who's going to be the participant for each call.
Right, because those roles alternate.
That's right. And most importantly, they both need to commit to completing all three calls, no matter what.
So that assumption of continuity is established from the very beginning.
Yeah. And that's crucial for creating that safe container for the process to unfold.
Okay, so let's break it down. Call one, the present call, what happens there?
Okay, so call one starts with a short opening, about 5 minutes, just for greetings and for the leader to read the purpose statement out loud.
And then both people agree to those principles.
Exactly. They both say, I agree. And then the main part of the call, which is about 45 minutes, is dedicated to these alternating 15-minute sharing intervals.
And they provide specific questions.
They do, yeah. They have these call one conversation starters to guide the discussion and make sure you're staying focused on the present.
Like what?
Well, they have questions like, what is happening in your life currently? You know, just getting a sense of where they're at. What is important to you at this time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are their values? Why did you join this program? You know, what's their motivation? How would you describe who you are? You know, their self-perception. And what exciting things are happening in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Just to bring in some positive energy.
Okay, so it's really about getting a well-rounded picture of their current life. And are there any, like, topics that are off limits for this first call?
Yeah, they suggest keeping things pretty light and positive, so avoiding potentially controversial topics like politics or religion.
Makes sense. Don't want to jump into those deep waters too soon.
Exactly. They also advise against, like, oversharing too much personal stuff too early, you know?
Right, respecting those boundaries.
Yeah, and staying away from like really sensitive topics like age, finances, past sexual experiences, or any relationship trauma.
So just keeping it focused on the present and those lighter aspects of getting to know each other.
That's it. And then after the sharing, you spent about 5 minutes discussing the get out of jail card agreement and confirming the dates and times for the next two calls.
To make sure everyone's on the same page and committed to the process.
Right. And then the call ends with, you know, just expressing appreciation for the conversation and looking forward to the next steps.
Okay, that sounds like a really nice, structured, but also kind of gentle way to begin. And then call two, that's the future call, right?
Yeah.
How does that one work?
Call two has a very similar structure to the first one. You start with that short opening, reading the purpose statement. Both people say, I agree.
Okay.
And then you have those alternating 15-minute sharing turns. But this time, the questions are all focused on the future.
What are some of those questions?
Things like, what are your short-term plans? What are your long-term visions? What does your ideal life look like? Where do you see yourself in 3 years? What are you working toward or hoping to create?
So it's really about getting a sense of their aspirations, their goals, their dreams.
Exactly. And seeing if there's any alignment, you know, do your visions for the future kind of complement each other?
And what are the guidelines for call two?
Again, it's about keeping things positive and future focused. You know, not dwelling on the past, sharing those genuine aspirations, and being open to the possibility that your visions might be different.
And that's okay.
Exactly. You don't have to be carbon copies of each other to have a fulfilling connection.
That's a good reminder. You also do a quick check-in about the get out of jail card agreement, right?
Yep, just to make sure everyone's still on board with that. And then you confirm the scheduled time for call three.
Great. And that brings us to call three, the origins call. This one seems like it has the potential to be the most vulnerable of the three.
It does, yeah. It's where you really start to delve into those deeper layers of each other's experience.
So walk me through it. How does call three typically unfold?
Like the first two calls, it starts with the opening, the purpose statement, the I agree.
Okay.
But then the sharing portion is a little bit longer. It's about 50 minutes.
So you have a little bit more time to explore those deeper topics.
Exactly. And again, it's divided into those alternating 15-minute intervals guided by those specific call three conversation starters.
And what kind of questions are we talking about here?
Well, things like, what was your childhood environment like? Right? You know, getting a sense of their family dynamics. How did your family express love or handle conflict? You know, understanding those early relationship patterns. What key memories from childhood still influence you today? So those really formative experiences. What did you learn about relationships growing up? You know, what were those early messages they received?
So it's really about understanding the roots of their beliefs and patterns in relationships.
Exactly. And then they have questions like, is there a moment from childhood that still lives in your heart? You know, something that's really stayed with them. And how did your early experiences shape your understanding of connection? We are tying it all back to the bigger picture.
Those are powerful questions. And what kind of guidance do they offer for navigating this potentially sensitive territory?
Well, they stress the importance of sharing authentically, but also respecting your own boundaries and the other person's boundaries.
So being mindful of how much you're comfortable sharing and also being respectful of their comfort level.
Right. And it's really important to listen with empathy, you know, without judgment, without trying to analyze or fix anything.
Just holding space for their experience.
Exactly. And remembering that the goal here is not to conduct therapy or dig up old wounds. It's about understanding the stories and experiences that have shaped their perspectives on connection.
That's a really important distinction. And then the call ends with, I guess, acknowledging that you've completed the bridge and maybe talking about next steps.
Yeah. And they also encourage each person to fill out a bridge review form to reflect on the experience.
That makes sense. It's a lot to process. Okay, so we've talked about the structure and the principles, but realistically, I imagine there are some common challenges that might come up during these calls.
Oh, absolutely. And the manual actually anticipates some of those common obstacles and solutions.
What are some of the things they highlight?
Well, one common one is if one person tends to dominate the conversation. You know, maybe they get excited and just keep talking.
Yeah, that happens.
So the suggestion is to gently but firmly remind them of the 15-minute structure.
Right. Redirect them back to the agreed upon format.
Exactly. Another challenge is if someone has difficulty sharing deeply.
Which is understandable. Vulnerability takes time to build.
It does. So the advice is to acknowledge that and be patient. You know, depth doesn't always happen instantly.
Right. It unfolds organically. And what if someone starts to feel really emotionally activated or uncomfortable?
Well, they suggest acknowledging those feelings openly. You know, just saying, hey, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now, or, you know, this is bringing up some difficult stuff for me. and then maybe taking a brief pause to regroup before continuing.
So it's okay to take a break, to honor those feelings.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if there's any uncertainty about boundaries, you know, maybe someone sharing something that feels a little too personal, the recommendation is to just ask for clarification.
In a respectful way, of course.
Of course. And if there are any technical difficulties or distractions, the suggestion is to either take a break to resolve them or just reschedule the call for a better time.
Yeah, life happens.
It does. The key is to maintain that supportive and collaborative atmosphere throughout the process.
That's so important. The manual also mentions the availability of scripts and templates.
Yes, they actually provide pre-written scripts for some of the key elements, like the purpose statement, the introduction to the get-out-of-jail card agreement, and even templates for how to open and close each call.
Oh, that's great. So it really gives you that extra support and guidance, especially if you're feeling a little nervous or unsure about how to navigate certain parts of the process.
Exactly. It's like having a little cheat sheet. And they even include the full text of the purpose statement in the manual.
Oh, right. What does it say?
It's really beautiful, actually. It says, "Welcome to our call. This is an opportunity to show up with an open heart, mind, and spirit. By being here, we surrender all defenses and enter into an authentic space of sharing."
I love that. It really sets a beautiful intention for the entire process.
It does. And then both people respond with, "I agree," solidifying that commitment to creating that safe and open space.
Okay, so beyond the calls themselves, are there any like practical applications or implementation activities that the manual suggests to really help people engage with this process?
Yeah, they provide guidance for both pre-call preparation and post-call reflection.
What do they recommend for preparing for a call?
Well, first off, make sure you're in a comfortable and private environment where you won't be interrupted. You know, silence your phone, close the door, create that sacred space.
We gotta set the stage.
Exactly. And then take a few minutes to center yourself, you know, maybe do some deep breathing, meditate, just get present and grounded. And it's helpful to briefly review the conversation starters for that specific call, just to kind of refresh your memory.
Okay, so you're going into the call feeling calm, focused, and prepared. And what about after the call? What kind of reflection do they suggest?
Well, they encourage you to take some time to just sit with your experience. You know, what were your initial impressions of the person? Were there any moments that felt particularly connecting or significant? And also, were there any moments that felt challenging or awkward?
So being honest with yourself about the whole range of experiences.
That's it. And they also encourage some self-awareness. You know, how were you feeling emotionally during the call? Mm. What were your communication patterns like? Did you hold anything back from sharing? And if so, why?
So it's not just about the other person. It's about understanding yourself in the process.
Exactly. And then they suggest reflecting on any similarities or differences you noticed, anything that surprised you about the person, and whether you feel a sense of connection and curiosity about getting to know them better.
So it's a really holistic approach to reflection. And there are even self-assessment tools in the manual, right?
Right. There's a presence assessment, where you rate yourself on different aspects of your engagement during the call, like your level of focus, your listening skills, the honesty of your sharing, how well you manage your emotions, and your overall curiosity about the other person.
And that's a great way to kind of check in with yourself and see how you're showing up in the process.
And after you complete all three bridge calls, there's a more comprehensive connection assessment, where you reflect on the other person's qualities and values, the things you have in common, how comfortable you felt with the level of vulnerability shared, and whether you feel that spark of interest and curiosity about continuing to connect.
Okay, so it's really a multi-layered approach to assessing the potential for a deeper connection. And the manual even includes practice scenarios with suggested responses.
It does. It's like they thought of everything. They provide examples for things like, what do you do if the conversation feels stilted or awkward? What if someone brings up really emotional topics too early? What if you're having trouble staying within the time limits?
So they really give you those practical tools to navigate those tricky situations.
Exactly. It's like having a coach in your back pocket.
And to illustrate how the bridge can actually work in real life, they include case studies in the manual.
They do, yeah. Like the story of Michael and David, who are both a little skeptical about this whole structured approach at first.
I can relate to that.
But they decided to give it a try, and they found that the bridge actually helped them get past all the usual games and posturing that often happens in dating and allowed them to build a really genuine connection.
And they ended up in a relationship.
They did. The bridge helped them create that foundation of trust and understanding that allowed their relationship to flourish.
That's beautiful. And there's also James's story, right? His experience with the bridge really highlights how this approach can help you break free from those unhealthy patterns that might be keeping you stuck.
Exactly. James had a history of these really intense but short-lived relationships, and the bridge helped him slow down, be more intentional, and develop those deeper intimacy skills.
And it sounds like the benefits extended beyond his romantic life as well.
They did. He actually noticed positive changes in his friendships and other relationships as a result of the communication skills he developed through the bridge.
That's so cool. It's like a ripple effect.
Hello again. This is Paul Angelo. I hope you enjoyed this interview about the bridge, which is the first stage of the Universal Dating Protocol inside the Big Gay Family Social Program. If you'd like to participate this way, then join us at the Big Gay Family Social Program. Click the enrollment link, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on the other side. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon.